Hey guys, welcome to Contemplations in Nirvana. This is Nirvana, and you know, we're going on this wave of Xi. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. So Xi in Chinese is army. That's what it means. And in the I Ching, what it states is that in times of war, it is desirable to be led by a cautious and humane leader. So, as a student of the I Ching, one of the things that I'm beginning to realize is, I guess, the cracks in my character, the cracks in my pavement. And also, through this introspection, through this engaging with myself, and not just the externalized idea of relationships, the more I relate to myself, discovering how I responded to the world in introspection, I realize that, you know, as tough as it is, as tough as a pill it is to swallow, and I haven't quite swallowed it yet, because I'm contemplating on whether I should crush it and dilute it in some water and then drink it. It's probably the best idea. But yesterday, I was looking outside the window, looking at the city, and I said, the world is exactly as it should be. Now, that's interesting, especially coming from me, right? Nirvana, the activist, some may call me a hippie. I don't associate with that. No shade to the movement, though. Nirvana, the hippie, the peacemaker, the Erika Badu of South Africa. Like, it's interesting having that come to me, but, you know, there is a point to that statement. And I don't think I have the words to fully articulate as yet. So I'll free flow and hope to find a definition to, or a reason to, that statement and why it came out and why I feel this way. So, you know, contemplating on patience, realizing, discovering that patience is being able to wait without getting annoyed or upset, and then contemplating on how to become patient, and then realizing that the principles of the I Ching are all connected, and that detachment is required in order for patience to exist, because detachment from outcome, detachment from objects, from past, from future, detachment, I want to say the detachment of the presence from what's happening right now, but at the same time being present, I think being able to remove oneself and at the same time be there is a powerful way to be. And the reason yesterday's statement stuck with me and resonated as true is because so many of our spiritual practices tell us that what is happening inside reflects on the outside. right? You know, collectively, so much is amiss. And I'm not sure how much of... Actually, no, I think I do know. I can assume that that statement rings true to our living environments as much as it does our bodies. So if I am the way I am inside my construct, and the world is how it is outside, and there is a correlation between the two, and since everything is connected, then one can safely say that everything is as it should be, because I, the one, is. And I'm beginning to realize the impact of my presence on this world. Am I a cheerleader? Or am I an innovator? Am I perpetuating certain ideas? And what ideas are those that I am perpetuating in my way of being? Okay, it's a hard pull to swallow, to know, to... It's a hard thing to accept one's hardiness. And you know, I think for those who've read Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power, any of Robert Greene's books on seduction, It's interesting to me how, you know, those laws in isolation, especially the paraphrase, if you haven't read the whole book, how, and if you haven't read it a multitude of times, also in conjunction with other spiritual texts, how much that those laws can influence one to be in a sort of fight or flight mode, where we you know, switch to operating off of our lower brain. Am I safe? Am I not safe? But at the same time, Robert Greene, what he's saying is to not operate from that level, even though his laws, when you look at them, when you look at the titles, like Never Outshine the Master, it can inspire a lot of fear. But, you know, if you read something like the I Ching that inspires you and encourages you to contemplate on particular principles like humility, you can begin to understand through contemplation what he may have meant. And actually, all of your interactions, you begin to understand a little better through the lens of humility, or the lens of the principles of the I Ching. So when I speak of the principles of the I Ching, let's look at them in isolation, detachment, acceptance, humility, equanimity, especially in times of accomplishment, tolerance, and acceptance and patience, right? In the preface of the 48 Laws of Power, Robert Greene states that, you know, it's important not to get emotional, to make any decision based on our emotionality would result in a greater misfortune than we would have been able to foresee. And you know, I'm two ways about how that statement is delivered. But at the same time, you know, when I read the I Ching, I'm like, okay, we have our superior influences and our inferior influences. And the superiors are the ones that we cultivate, the principles of the I Ching, right? The ones I mentioned, equanimity, independence, detachment, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then our inferiors happen to be, I guess, how I'm interpreting it, our primal emotions. So anger, jealousy, love to a degree. What else? Or, you know, the niceties, the unpleasantries as well. But when I reference to, and not but, and when I reference to The Artist's Way, the book The Artist's Way, the author makes it a point to mention that our emotions are indicators, right? And that's the truth. And I think when the I Ching states that our superior influences need to govern our inferior influences, it does not mean that we eradicate anger, but we are able to hone and control it through, you know, when I think about the definition of patience, which is being able to wait without getting angry and annoyed, what would make someone angry and annoyed to wait? What would make me angry and annoyed to wait? Well, a lack of humility, a lack of, you know, I guess maybe assuming too much about my abilities, or assuming too much about my importance. And also haste. Like, one of the things that I've learned is, or that I'm learning, is to be able to accept. So acceptance comes in here. Accept that things are going the way they are going, and they are the way they are, and they should be honored because of their existence, their isness. So as much as I may find displeasure from a particular kind of thing, I would, by virtue of my existence, need to accept that this thing exists. Because it is. And we share a similarity. We both are. I know I'm getting a bit, I may be getting a bit complex, but you know, what would, going back to that question, what would make me angry and annoyed within myself, as in my character, and how I put, and what lens would I be perceiving, waiting through, you know? Those who are quick to temper are almost always arrogant. And almost always non-accepting. So, you know, I think with the waiting, or I guess the annoyance that comes with waiting, there is a level of desperation and attachment to whatever it is that we're waiting for. An externalization of one's ability, my ability to respond and act in accordance with my desires, that responsibility externalized to this thing that I may be waiting for. And I think that's why in the 48 Laws of Power, Robert Greene expresses so explicitly that one should express themselves through their work. And to take nothing personally and to remain detached. I know in my bones that this man has literally read the 33 strategies of war, and I know since he's read that book, he's read the I Ching or the Tao Te Ching. Like, I'm convinced, because I don't think that it is wise for a person to only read the 48 Laws of Power once. I think you need to read it 1,000 times, as Chinese proverb says that, or is it a Buddhist? Yeah, a Buddhist saying of, if you read a book 1,000 times, you're bound to understand it. At the same time, you know, it's taken me a lot of, when did I buy the book? Three years ago. A lot of contemplating and making so many different errors and coming into this, I guess, desire and love to be in accordance with truth and to be in accordance with the principles of the I Ching. More so, not just because I'm subscribing to a particular, you know, group, but more so because I'm a warrior, and I would like to cultivate myself to be the best warrior I can. And yeah, so the I Ching, this is kind of becoming Nirvana's book recommendation series. So the I Ching in conjunction with the 48 Laws of Power, on top of that, contemplation and introspection. Contemplation and introspection. I don't think you can truly understand something without giving it the time to chew. Like, I don't think you can fully get the benefits of digestion by just putting something in your mouth, chewing it twice, then swallowing it. Like, you gotta chew. You really gotta chew. But chewing is a process. So how do we then cultivate this patience and this love for the process? I remember sitting at a dinner table with people who are so dear to my heart, and we had just watched a Marvel movie. I think it was Captain Marvel or Marvel. And we were, I guess, dissecting the meaning of that film. And I was just so inspired in that conversation. My friend Courtney was describing, she said something along the lines of, you know, oh, forgive me, Courtney, if I don't remember this, but she was making reference to the process of digestion. And she was referencing digestion problems and how it's funny that, like, we assume to know ourselves when we don't even, like, can we even sit and feel our body move and give ourselves the time to digest? And then she said that knowing. And these were, like, I don't want to say trigger words, but these were words as she was speaking and she was describing this process, and this observation and this realization she had with someone very close to her. I realized that God is the process. So when we can bring to the fore that the process is in fact godly, it is God. Shout out to Takala, by the way. Yeah. Wow, I truly hope you're in this moment with me, because I just remembered a scene and I want you to watch the scene, and I'll try and post it if I can find it. From Waking Life, The Waking Life. This animated movie, and the scene, this guy was talking about to his friend at a coffee shop about the process of film and how, you know, in essence, the star system is kind of correct because it's about that person who was in that film. You know, the beauty of film is that you begin to acknowledge the moment, like, okay, this moment is important, and that moment, and the next. You can't really miss a thing in film, right? And there's so much more to discover the more you watch the film, you know? And then they had what I believe they called a holy moment. And they began to transform into clouds, but human figures sitting at a table. And they were having this holy moment where they were just looking at each other. And the friend said, it's so interesting with this holy moment. You're in the holy moment, then you realize that you're in the holy moment, then you observe the holy moment. And then it's like this never-ending cycle of two mirrors looking at each other. Like, it's like a kaleidoscope. He didn't say that, but I'm just thinking about it. And voila, you're in God's space. Okay, I'm gonna leave it here because I like this tone. I love you, and this is she, Army. And let us become cautious and humane generals within ourselves. Amen. Hey guys, this is Contemplations in Nirvana, and I'm with my beautiful friend Snare.
Hi guys.
And we're in a Taxify headed home, and we're gonna have some green tea in our very big home, our very, very big home with a multitude of rooms and kitchens. Anyway, no, we're just gonna go to a restaurant in Mabuning and have green tea. But so we're busy talking about the difference between attraction and liking someone, because as we were having Asian food in Melville, I saw someone that used to go to gym with, and they happened to be very attractive, and the whole story with them was like a drama. And basically my ego was wounded because this person wasn't attracted to me. So now I wanted to show up. I wanted to be like, yes, this is me. See me.
So, you have not seen me at my best.
Yeah.
That's that feeling.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, now I'm even thinking about the fact that I demean the person that I was before just because he wasn't attracted to... Do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because I had...
Because you were... But, like, you were never not beautiful.
Yes.
So, again, it's like, why would you feel like...
Yes.
That was the particular reason that person wasn't
didn't like... Yeah. And I found myself objectifying him. You know, I found myself, like... Like what you said about having, like, ukhala.
Sometimes you don't like someone, but uyakhalela just to have them. Like, you just... Ukhala nje.
Just like, I conquered that.
Yes. You just want that thing so you can have that thing.
And yes.
It makes you feel like...
accomplished.
You know?
I did it.
Which is terrible.
It's so bad. And I'm terrible. Actually so grateful that I didn't see him, like, now having the opportunity to be introspective about seeing that glimpse of him. So, you know, spiritually I'm like, hey, that soul really taught me a lesson about myself and respect and all that stuff. But I know I would personally feel so... I would feel disgusted. I would be like, get away from me. Who are you? Like, do you get what I mean?
Even
if it's just a vibe, I'd be like, ew, what's this guy doing here? Can't he see I'm on my flow? Just leave me alone. Why do you want me so much?
Yeah, I mean, it's so selfish, some of these things, because I meet, like, a lot of people. Like I said, I meet a lot of guys and females, and it's not even that I like them. It's not even that they're that interesting. It's just the, you would be a nice thing to have.
A handbag.
And I'm like, that is so selfish of you. That is so conceited. That is so shallow.
Yes.
Why would you just want someone just... Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it raises the question, why does this happen? Like, I know for sure my ego is engaged. And by ego, I mean, like, my sense of self, there's a part of myself that I want to fulfill and prove to myself that this is what it is. And to the world, like, I'm this person. Mm-hmm. I can get any man I want. Mm-hmm. I can do this. So many men are attracting me and I don't even care about them. Like, yeah. Do you mean, it's just like, why does that need to be who I am? Yeah. Why do I want to prove that so much?
That's true. Even in situations where this hasn't happened in a while because I've grown up, but like I would frequently find myself looking at someone's relationship even and thinking, you know, like if I got into that situation, I could be the main situation.
Ooh, I know. I know what you mean.
You know, and it's absolutely horrid. It's a horrid thought, like, to want to mess up someone's relationship just because you feel like you can.
Oh. Like that song by Ariana Grande, break up with the girl and I'm bored. Like, yeah, for real. It's such a real thing. Like, I found myself good. I mean, I don't even dabble in those courts anymore because I've experienced it and I'm like, I felt like a shitty person. At the end of the day, observing the fact that I didn't consider other human beings and honor their connections, and also just for the sake of, I got a big dick. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's...
Like, my dick is bigger than yours.
And what does that prove? I can't even tell, but and yeah.
It's even like a, you can resist all you want, but eventually.
Eventually, yes.
I know you will cave.
I know you'll come. It's like, that's so bad.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
It's funny because like in my...
But it's not every single emotion and thought again that you can control as a human being.
Yes.
I think sometimes it's natural to have some of these thoughts, but it's, do you go through with it? Where do you stop yourself?
Yeah.
And you know, because sometimes you can't stop yourself from feeling these types of ways, right?
You.
But it's, did you act on that thing?
That's
that
true.
That differentiates what kind of person you are at the end of the day.
That's so true, because there's, wow, you're actually so right. There's a multitude of influences.
Yeah.
They're there. We don't have to be influenced by them, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It's like working in a bar. You work around alcohol, but you ain't gotta be drunk.
You ain't gotta be drunk. And I do actually work with a lot of people who, like, serve alcohol on a regular basis, but they've never tasted alcohol a single day of their lives. So,
yeah, whew.
And even if, and I'm pretty sure they do have thoughts of, oh, why is everybody drinking this thing?
Yes.
Maybe I might like it too, but like they still don't do it.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's what makes the fundamentals, you know, like that's what defines you, the way you say yes or no. Right, because you could say yes, but you were strong enough to say no,
no.
Or to stop yourself in your tracks. Like when you wanted to ruin a relationship and you decided no, you're not gonna do it, you're gonna grow up.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had to tell myself to grow up a couple of occasions. Yeah.
Oh, so I remember Courtney telling me about like the lower brain. Like she was watching a TED talk and this lady was speaking about how there's like the upper brain and the lower brain, and the lower brain is like governs the am I safe, am I not safe, and children often operate from that level. And I found that like now as we're talking, I feel like, you know, what happened there was primal, you know, it was a very primal thing. Like, why do I need, I guess it's to survive, like my ego's trying to survive something.
Yeah,
like often
ego always,
like our sense of self wants to survive. Mm-hmm. So that we can physically, like I know it may be extreme, but at the end of the day we're trying to survive on so many different levels. And he's like what one would consider a alpha male, you know.
Yeah.
He's beautiful, tall, ripped, and all that stuff. At the end of the day, like you said, do you like the person or you're just attracted to the person? There's a difference, you know, like. And sometimes on a very subconscious level, I found myself being attracted to people because of the thing, like the person that they are, something that I would want to embody. And took a lot of growing up for me to realize that, hey, maybe I need to be a little more disciplined with my body, because I enjoy beautiful, like strong, like having that strong
male figure person around.
No, body.
Body.
Like
for
with
yourself,
me.
Or...
Yes, for me. Like I enjoy being strong. I enjoy looking good. I enjoy muscles. I enjoy eating healthy and discipline. I enjoy not being able to waver, so
yeah, I mean, just before when you were talking, it actually reminded me of a petty thing that I did recently, where I knew someone had a crush on me. This is somebody I did not have any attraction for.
Yes.
Whatsoever, no liking, just someone I knew and could call perhaps maybe like a friend or an acquaintance, so to speak. And so as an acquaintance, I knew that that person had a crush on me just from what other people had been telling me.
Yes.
Right? And as soon as... But I had been ignoring that situation, avoiding that person or being alone with that individual just based on the fact that I know, oh, this person has thoughts about me, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be caught up in some type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I saw that individual liking another person...
Oh, I know that thing!
There were, like... there was like a thing that was like, act some type of way, do something,
do
like
something.
Get that person's
it.
Attention He's... again, you know.
Oh, I feel you. Oh my gosh, what is that thing? Like, because I've been liked and I'm just like, eh, what are you? And then as soon as they're like, eh,
then it's
I'm like, how dare
what?
Do you know who I am?
First of all, she ain't shit.
No, she ain't shit. And second of all,
Oh, yeah. No.
Man.
I mean, we definitely need to identify those things and where to cut them off, because if you don't cut those things off, you yes. just end up being that person. Oh, and people will talk.
Yes.
Like, oh, that one. She will act up on anyone just to get attention, and yes. you don't want to be that person. I've had so many people say, oh, that person likes attention, just based on the fact that they love being liked.
Yes.
You know?
Ooh, that's so, and it's so conceited. We love being liked. We love, well, I mean, not all the time. Like, I mean, like right now, I think we're insane, you know.
Yeah.
Humble. We're in humble enough states of being to identify that, hey, you know, we, these toxic traits, like sometimes we do indulge in them, and it is nice. It's nice being acknowledged and seen in some way. Like, it's nice to be deemed as higher than, like, as preference. I remember writing down in my journal, I'm like, I'm so offended that I'm not your preference. I'm so taken aback by the fact that...
And remember I said to you, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be everyone's type. Yes. You're not always going to be everyone's type.
Yes.
You know? Somebody doesn't need a Nirvana.
Yes.
They need something else. They need their... Whatever they're used to or whatever's their type. But we can't force ourselves to be someone's type.
And... Whew. Yeah, I mean, it says a lot. I think it does take a lot of groundedness to be able to consistently be at that level of like, we're all good. I see you. Hey, how are you? Things pass. They come. They pass. You pay attention to them. You let go of them. You detach. You give things the adequate attention, and then you move on.
Yeah.
Like it takes. The utmost self-love, because like right now I remember, like today I was ranting about Aquarius men in my head, because every Aquarius man I've experienced, or every Aquarius strong Aquarian placements I've experienced, has inconvenienced me heavily. And for some reason it had to do with travel, it had to do with moving place, like they just, or it had to do with like some form of getting something done, and they would just inconvenience me, and they didn't realize how abusive their inconsideration was. And then I said something like, yeah, Aquarians need to realize that loving humanity, because Aquarius are known for loving humanity, not necessarily individuals. That's why they're considered so flighty, so like non-attached with people.
Yeah.
But I think what I wanted to say was, Aquarians need to realize that loving humanity is loving the individual in front of you, and more so loving yourself. Because if you love yourself, what happens within always translates without.
Yeah.
And then now I'm catching myself like, I could use that advice still.
We could,
that sounds like me. Maybe I should, you know, sprinkle some love on me. It's very easy to be like, I love the world and we're changing the world. It's very easy to be grand about the change that needs to happen. But at micro level, the things that need to happen before the grand thing happens.
Yeah.
It can be challenging because it's like introspection and stuff.
True. I've caught myself a couple of times giving people advice, and I'm like, wow, you need to take that advice as well. by the way, I'm so good at giving people advice, and then it's like, and in your own situations, are you this sensible? Like, are you able to check yourself when you need to check yourself? Yeah.
Man. Anyway, thank you for being so open about this snare. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Okay. Thank you guys.
Always a good girl chat with
you. Always a good girl chat. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you some other time. Bye. Love you.